The Big Scary Show is sponsored in part by the following: Gantom Lighting and Controls, GANTOM, Gantom.com, and Dark Imaginings, Web Design, Changing Portraits, and More, DarkImaginings.com.
For the deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious, it's time for a Big Scary Show.
Hi, my name is Alex Farnsworth with Booger Jim's Hollow from Blacksburg, South Carolina, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Josh from The Fear Farm in Blacksburg, South Carolina, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, creeps. It's me,
John Kassir, the voice of
the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show, the top podcast in the industry.
Hi, this is Ryan Settlemyer with Lake Hickory Haunts, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Seth Gilliam from The Walking Dead, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
When the apocalypse comes, Will you survive? Z-Tag brings the undead to life in a real-world challenge of speed, agility, and survival. It's zombies against humans. Wear your Z-Tag badge with its flashing LEDs and get into action. Hunt or be hunted. Take your pick. Red light for zombies and green light for humans. Just remember, zombies are infectious within 3 feet. As a human, will your cunning help you and your peers survive the zombie apocalypse, or will you perish in the carnage? As a zombie, will your horde succeed in spreading the global pandemic? Whatever you choose, your survival instincts will be put to the ultimate test. Do you have what it takes? Hashtag play Z-Tag.
Here we go. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live in the upstate of South Carolina. And if you've ever traveled through the upstate of South Carolina around Halloween, you might know of a phenomenon called spook houses. We're hanging out at a spook house now in Blacksburg called Booger Jim's Hollow. Got Alex Farnsworth here, one of the big cheeses at Booger Jim's. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself, Drew?
We just went through the trail. We're getting ready to go through the house itself. It's a fun trail. You got some energetic actors. I like the effects you got out there. A lot of fun.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We put a lot of time and effort into it.
And you've been around here about 10 years or so?
Yes, sir, 10 years. The start with, we was known as the Trail of Screams, later changed our name to Booger Jim's Hollow, based on an urban legend in Cherokee Falls that everybody who lives here knows who Booger Jim is.
And who is Booger Jim?
They say Booger Jim, he was a guy who wasn't really quite right in the head to start with.
Oh, please.
Oh, yeah.
People like that in the upstate of South Carolina. Come on now.
Oh, come on, yeah.
Now, I live in Gaston County, so I can say that. But, yeah, okay,
right,
go on, continue.
Right, yeah. but you know, he seemed all normal. He had a wife and a kid. And folks used to say they could see Booger just walking around the streets of Cherokee Falls. He never really spoke to anybody.
Right.
You know, and, one night, they said they heard a big commotion coming from down at his house. They were slamming doors, people screaming, and, you know, this, when I say this is back when, like in the 1800s.
Oh, okay.
And this was before they had power, all that
sure.
stuff, so everybody heard everything. There wasn't no TVs going on, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But the story goes, Booger and his wife got into it, and it's something like in his head, it just snapped. And he ended up murdering his wife and his kid, and when he come to and realized what he had done, he went and hung himself off this bridge down here. That's called Booger Jim's Bridge.
Okay.
Now, they say if you go to Booger Jim's Bridge and you turn your car off, turn your lights off, lay your keys on top of your car, you got to get out and say his name 3 times. People claim to have seen him. Some people said they've heard him under the bridge, and all you could hear is the noise from where the cables crushed his neck. But some folks have said they've seen him. We actually caught him on video. If you go to our website, it's boogerjimshollow.com, you can see the video. Excuse the language. We were scared out of our minds.
Okay.
But there's a section on the video. It's on YouTube. It's also on our website. There's a section of the video where you can see what we believe to be Booger Jim come from the bottom right-hand side of the screen all the way up to the top left-hand corner of it.
Interesting.
And right when it gets in the middle, if you pause it, you'll be able to see the perfect image of a head, shoulders, 2 eyes, a nose, and a mouth, plain as day.
Wow, we're going to have to run down here to the bridge and turn the lights off here after we finish going through the house here. You bet. You've had the trail out here for 10 years. This is the first year you've had the actual house. How's it been? I mean, how have people liked it now that you've actually added a house to it?
Well, people love it. I mean, some folks have said it's a little too short, but we're in the process of, as far as just the house goes, they
sure.
say the house is a little short because it is smaller than the trail. You know, it's a real house.
Right.
It's a real house that we've converted into a haunted house. So, and we've kind of added on. We've built a dormer on it and had to add stairs going down it just because
sure.
there's stairs going up it. And, you know, just so they don't go through the same room twice,
right.
of course. And then what I plan on doing in the future is maybe buying another one.
Right
up the road here, converting it into a haunted house.
And maybe have a whole little colony of haunted houses, it sounds like.
There you go.
So it sounds like a lot of fun. And again, going through a spook house like this, and especially going through the trail like we just did with the actors, just as enthusiastic as they can. I will say, they will touch you at Booger Jim's Hollow. I got I got grappled and groped a few times, so nothing bad, all in good fun. I signed the waiver, so I guess it's okay. But a lot of fun out here, so everybody, if you're running up through the upstate, right off I-85, not too far off of Blacksburg, exit 106 to 100 or so will get you here to Booger Jim's Hollow. For people wanting more information, websites, social medias, all that good stuff, how can they get more information?
Exactly. If you go to our website, it's boogerjimshollow.com, plain and simple. We have links to our Facebook page, which is the biggest thing we post on. We also have a Twitter, Instagram. We have a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to.
Excellent.
You know, just we're also on like Haunt World and stuff like that, but that's pretty much it as far as social media goes with us.
Well, we're getting ready to go through the haunted house here, so thank you, Alex, for letting us to check out Booger Jim's Hollow. Go to boogerjimshollow.com and check out all this cool stuff. It's a real-life spook house in the upstate of South Carolina, and there's a lot of them around here, and this is one of them, and it's a whole lot of fun. My name is Drew Badger here in the upstate of South Carolina for the Big Scary Show, and we are out.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, another Halloween is in the books, and we fall into the trap of Halloween business excuses. Yes, why did things not work out so well at Halloween? Let's make some lame excuses. The best so far I've seen is Party City, where their earnings are down for this quarter, and they're blaming Halloween. Sales were not as robust as they thought, and you know what? The reason they think that is because Halloween fell outside of a weekend.
What?
Oh yes, no. Apparently, they believe that people bought less party supplies for Halloween because it happened on a Monday.
Well, there was a weekend right before the Monday. But let's not take into account that, you know, these stores are getting the Halloween stuff off the shelves and moving it to the back at Columbus Day weekend, starting to shove Christmas down our throats by then. People have also learned that, you know, so much things are on sale and at such a drastic cut down at the, you know, November 1st that people will get it, put it in a box, and save it for next year. It's almost like Christmas again when you pop open those boxes in September and go, oh yeah, I got this at the end of last year. But let's not to mention that there's a lot more knockoff and just cheap junk out there. I mean, you know, yeah, I wanted to do a prop, I popped over to Party City to get a revolving disco ball. Okay, $8, no problem. The thing didn't spin right because it was cheap Chinese crap. Don't let this fall into yourself. You know, your haunt and your and what you got going on. Oh, you know what? We probably didn't have as many people this year because, well, it rained. The weather was bad. Now you can tell yourself that, and that could very much be part of what's going on. Hi, Nicodemus, the podcast cat. But unless your numbers the days it wasn't raining were drastically higher than your normal nights would have been, there might be something else going on, and not just the weather is there. So don't let yourself fall into a lame excuse. Make sure you look at everything objectively that you did for Halloween, and prepare for next season. And until next time, keep every minute scary.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Want to take your haunt to a new dimension of terror? Then let Dark Imaginings conjure up some ghoulish graphics and web design services for your home, haunt, or crypt. Since 2007, professional and home haunters alike have trusted our award-winning and dedicated skeleton crew to make their nightmares come true. Whether you need graphic design services, logos, websites, spooky visuals, or creepy changing portraits, we can help your business look its scary best. To see more of our products and services, drop by darkimaginings.com. Let us help you get ahead of your competition.
Audio Zombie. Audio Zombie. Apparition. Apparition. On the Big Scary Show. Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, let's see if you're listening to the show carefully. It's time for the November edition of the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios. Please go to screamlinestudios.com. Check out all their great stuff. Now, how this works is very simple. I'm about to ask you a question. The answer is in the show. If you think you know the answer, email us, contest@bigscaryshow.com, with your name, your number, and, of course, the answer. And please do it by November 21st at midnight. Now, without further ado, the answer, or the question, I should say, for the November Gruesome Giveaway is... what was Booger Jim's Hollow's original name? If you think you know, email that to us with your name and number before midnight on November 21st, and you just might be chosen to win a fantastic prize, courtesy of Screamline Studios. Thank you, ScreamlineStudios.com, for all your great prizes, and keep listening to The Big Scary Show.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
We start out with a letter from Quan Gan of Gantam. Dear friends, Gantam has experienced tremendous milestones over the past few years. As Gantam continues to grow, I am challenged every day to adapt, to lead, and to foster a company culture reflective of my ideals. We've had great success in hiring talented individuals to meet our new challenges, and I'm proud of every Gantam employee. I'm proud of their resourcefulness, of their adaptability, and of their commitment to our culture. Today, we are announcing the addition of a new team member, Philip Hernandez. Philip joins Gantam as our business relations director, and due to the myriad of opportunities our young company has, his role will be multifaceted. Gantam's Halloween and attractions endeavors will be shifted to Philip, allowing us to expand into other markets. Philip will also be spearheading the expansion of our torch technology, fostering new business partnerships, and maintaining the operation in his media outlet, the Haunted Attraction Network. Philip's role at Gantam will be instrumental in helping us form new partnerships with both our customers and vendors, and help us become an integrated part of the themed entertainment community. His multifaceted background will give us the creative edge we need in a rapidly changing market environment. I created Gantam to help people, and I believe we accomplish this not only for our customers, but also for our employees. We support the passion of our staff and encourage them to develop their projects. Philip has grown the Haunted Attractions Network into one of the industry's largest global media agencies, encompassing a print magazine, podcast, and web properties, to help the industry achieve more. Gantam is honored to support and expand these efforts by bringing the network in under the Gantam flag. Philip will continue to have full editorial content or control and to operate the Haunted Attractions Network and their many platforms utilizing his current staff. Our hearts and roots remain in the haunted attraction space, and we will continue to contribute to it as an industry leader. Thank you, Quan Gan, Gantam Lighting and Controls. Get more information at Gantam, G-A-N-T-O-M, .com, and congratulations to Philip Hernandez. We have a little news from the House of Shadows in Gresham, Oregon. The House of Shadows presents The Nightmare After Halloween, December 2nd, 3rd, 9th, 10th, 16th, and 17th from 7 to 10 p.m., an interactive production produced by the House of Shadows, the number one haunted house in Oregon. This is an event for the whole family, ages 6 and older. Get your tickets and more info at scaredinoregon.com or their Facebook page. We have an update on the Walker Stalker Cruise 2017. Attention, all walkers, stalkers, and everything in between. Skybound's The Walking Dead is at it again and ready to bring the post-apocalyptic world to the open ocean. It's a journey filled with the characters you love and love to hate, suspense at every turn, and memories that will last a lifetime, or two, if you turn. Join us for Walker Stalker Cruise 2017. Norman Reedus, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Chandler Riggs, Alana Masterson, Michael Cudlitz, Tom Payne, and more of your favorite celebrities are joining us for the fun as we sail from Miami, Florida to Great Stirrup Cay, a private island in the Bahamas, February 3rd through the 6th, aboard the Norwegian Pearl. It's the convention you know and love in a more intimate and exotic setting. You never know what's in store during the interactive panels led by the people who have brought this series to life through comics and television. Hang out with other Walking Dead fans on board and on land. Prepare for theme nights, cosplay contests, activities, dancing the night away with new friends, and a 24-hour buffet. No tainted meat here. Don't miss your opportunity to be a part of this group of survivors at sea. Get more information at www.walkerstalkercruise.com. We have a little comic book news on a crossover between Alien and Star Trek. The crew of the Enterprise has certainly got into a lot over the years. They've piled up with the X-Men, they've met the 11th Doctor, and now they're facing a whole new threat, Xenomorphs. Announced at Diamond's Retailer Summit at London Film and Comic Con, IDW and Dark Horse are collaborating on a new miniseries that will see Picard and his crew face off against the deadly aliens that will probably leave more than a few poor red shirts with big gaping holes in their chests. Well, I guess technically yellow shirts, given that this is the Next Generation. Not many details about the series are known so far, other than that it will be written by Scott and David Tipton, with art by J.K. Woodward, but it certainly is an idea with a lot of potential. We just want one thing to happen. Borg Xenomorphs. Oh God, can you imagine? Star Trek The Next Generation / Aliens is set to arrive in spring 2017. We have news from Midsummer Scream in Long Beach, California. Midsummer Scream returns to Long Beach July 29th through July 30th, 2017 for a second year of Halloween, haunt, and horror madness. Two fun-filled days of frights, freaks, spooks, and scares. Your ticket includes admission to dozens of presentations from creative professionals, celebrities, and influencers from in and around the haunt, entertainment, and Halloween industry, along with a massive show floor and on-site haunts. We'll be announcing vendors, special guests, presenters, and presentations, and more entertainment over the next few months. To be informed of updates, keep an eye on MidsummerScream.org and follow them on social media. They're on Twitter and Instagram at MidsummerScream. And finally, we have this news on the Krampus Talk with a costume catwalk presentation in Los Angeles. Thanks to a certain highly promoted 2015 horror comedy by Universal, many Americans now know something about the Krampus, or think they do. However, mass culture horror tropes have muddied those waters. There is a growing domestic subculture of grassroots enthusiasts eager to understand and share a more authentically European take on the Krampus tradition. Over the last decade, dozens of Krampuslauf have sprung up in various American cities, including exceptionally vigorous activity in Los Angeles, where members of an Austrian troupe have marched alongside their American protégés in devilish switch-singing camaraderie. The creative force behind much of this enthusiasm for a once obscure Alpine tradition is Krampus Los Angeles director and author of The Krampus and the Old Dark Christmas, Al Ridenour. Returning for his third annual presentation, Ridenour will explore the topic with new slides, rare video clips, and surprises dreamed up with his costume cohorts from Krampus Los Angeles. Central to the superstitions, fears, and legends associated with the Old Dark Christmas season, or Die Rauhnacht, are the fearsome characters that haunted the Germanic landscape. To assist you in visualizing these particular spooks, Ridenour has choreographed costume walk-ons by Krampus Los Angeles members, the demonic Habergeis, the Schnabelperk, and Bloody Thomas are but a few of the more than dozens apparitions expected. Naturally, the more familiar Krampus and Saintly Nicholas will also be on hand to ensure that both naughty and nice are not only educated, but appropriately rewarded. Please note that they'll have two consecutive presentations of this lecture, happening Saturday, November 26th for two shows at 6 and 8 p.m. at the Goda Institute, Los Angeles, 5750 Wilshire Boulevard, Suite 100 in L.A. Advance purchase tickets are available now. Get more information at KrampusLosAngeles.com/events. As a side note, we might have Al Ridenour on a future episode of The Big Scary Show.
Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of The Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Do you want online ticketing but get scared by service fees? HauntPay is scary simple ticketing and payments for your haunted attraction. With features made for haunts, including timed ticketing and repeat time slots, variable ticket types, bundled and combo tickets, social media discounts, and more, HauntPay is designed with haunted attractions in mind. Check them out at HauntPay.com and start now for free.
And ladies and gentlemen, we close the curtain on Halloween 2016. We hope you had a great season. We hope you supported your local haunts. We hope your haunts were great. I think the Ghost had a great time for Halloween. Let's find out. We're going to talk about what our Halloween seasons were, how we've gone out and done this or done that or not done this or done that. Maybe we'll just start with Halloween. Maybe we'll go back to convention season. Let's see. No guests tonight, just the Ghost in town talking about what we did during the Halloween seasons. Hopefully we'll get some good stories. Of course, our hosts include Storm.
Greetings from chilly Rhode Island, where Nicodemus and Podcasting Cat has chosen a fireplace over the Round Table of Terror.
The unknown meat hook. Scare actor Jim.
Greetings from chilly Cincinnati, and you know what? I may have to skin a cat before this night's over.
Well, you know, there's more than one way to do that.
I know. I got four of them here I can practice on.
He's just trying to say he needs.
Oh, great. Thanks, Jerry. Now I'm going to edit that.
Just bleep it.
The Haunster medalist, Jerry Vane.
Who is relocating to Columbus, Ohio after Thanksgiving.
Woohoo!
And this is not a false alarm.
My name is Drew Badger in Charlotte, where chilly is anything below 66 degrees.
Listen.
And it's chilly tonight. So anyway, gentlemen and Jerry, how was your Halloween?
Who do you want to start? I mean...
Anybody, let's, Jim, you're talking. Let's, Maul, I hear, did very successfully.
I
scare lots of people at different haunts this year.
I couldn't be more proud or more happy of the season that Maul had this year. It was absolutely off the hook. All the way from Pittsburgh at 100 Acres Manor to Louisville and Waverly Hills to Indy and Indy Scream Park. We were at Fear Fair. We were at Stillwell Manor. We were at Springboro Haunted Hayride. We were just all over the place this year, and everybody was just on their game. It was an amazing season for us all. You know, I've got over 20, 25 people on roster, had most of them out over the season, and I am proud to say that one of my actors sent somebody to the hospital. People are like, well, wait a second. Well, you know, you come into a haunted attraction, what are you coming in for? To get scared. She was being a little bit snarky with my actors. Another one came up behind her. Apparently she has coulrophobia because she went down like a sack of potatoes and would not get up. Squad had to take her to the hospital. Thank you, Bloodzo. You have achieved near legendary status.
That's tremendous. And I think we met Bloodzo at Midwest. Is that correct?
He was there? You did.
Didn't you, at the time of this taping, didn't you put up a video earlier today from his GoPro cam?
Yes, it's the Bloodzo cam is on my page right now. It's also on Mall Haunt Specialists. You'll see it several places. I'll get it up in Haunted Attraction Industry. It's only about 2.5-3 minutes of just him working a queue line, and it's a shoulder-mounted camera, so you're going to see his face to the left, and you see what he's doing to the right, and It's a fun little video, and I've still got more footage to go through.
Make sure you get that up on our Facebook and our Twitter accounts, too. I'm sure those folks would love to see it.
Yeah, I'll get those shared over.
Very nice.
But we had, we had Jackie and Token and Kirby down at Waverly Hills, which was... You know, everybody's at Waverly Hills. You know, it's all haunted and everything. Again, another great season there. And those guys got to stay in the new bunkhouse on property, which just by chance happens to be down by the bottom of the Death Chute.
Oh, jeez. I've never been, but I've heard stories about it. Anybody have any experiences, shall we say?
Jim has.
Oh, yeah. I mean, up in the hospital itself, yeah, I've had several experiences there.
You had the shadow creatures, didn't you?
Absolutely. I had one chase me.
I was just Chris in the dark.
Not unless she was using shoe polish.
Why not? Hmm. People do tricky things nowadays.
There you go. And I know that you guys were out and able to not only work at, but I know you went out and hit a few haunted houses. I mean, heck, you and Jerry got out to Dent Schoolhouse. I know Jerry and his lady Dawn had never been out to Dent, you know, when we all went to Scarefest in Lexington earlier this season.
Well, you know...
That sounded like you had a great time.
I worked at Dent for 4 years, and... What I saw was an amazing show this year, but I'm going to let Jerry talk about that because he was a newbie, never been through it.
Yep. Meat Hook and Lady of Darkness, that's Chris's name, right? Mm-hmm. And my girlfriend Dawn, the spirit seer. And that's true, actually. She sees ghosts. And no, not because of any liquid libation. Anyway, the four of us took a jolly little trip through the back roads of wherever the hell we were heading out to the Dent Schoolhouse and got to talk with Mr. Bud Strauss and several of the other people that worked there. And both Dawn and I were blown away how awesome Dent was. I say this not because Bud's been on the show, but as like many of you, listeners, a fan of haunted houses. We don't have anything like this out in Vegas. And several people, you know, I kept talking to other people about, you know, oh, you're going to Dent, you're going to like this, you're going to like that. And I kept telling them, I don't want to hear it. Let me experience it. And the detail was insane. The actors were on point. Being the fact it was my first time there, I don't have anything to go off of what it was like before. I thought the queue line, stuff they had set up, a lot of really great eye candy. It was pretty windy that night, so that might have kept the crowds down a little bit because it was a little chilly. but Dent was awesome. And what they did with the second part of the haunts behind it, which what was that area used to be called, Jim?
Well, back when I was working there, it was called, excuse me, Detention Hall. And then my last year there is what it is now, the Queen City Slaughter Yard. But they've expanded it way beyond what even that was when I was working there.
I thought they did an amazing job back there. I mean, you're going through all these, you're outdoors. So you're going through all these constant switchbacks and changes and different scenes and everything. Both of us got startled a few times. It was quite funny because Dawn loves eye candy. She loves detail. And I had to keep, I mean, she kept stopping the sun just to look, you know, look at things because, like I said, in Vegas, the haunts out here do their best to, you know, they got great detail and everything, but she's never seen anything like this. This was her first time ever seeing haunted houses out in the Midwest. And she came out with just this huge grin going, that was awesome. So, and we went to the Scaratorium 2 days earlier with my daughter and her husband. And thank you, Kelly Collins, for having us. And the changes to the Scaratorium that they've done this year, Harry Siebert, who did most of the set design and everything, as well as taking care of his wonderful fiance Tammy, who unfortunately suffered had a very serious medical problem back in June. On top of taking care of her and getting her rehabilitated, he was taking care of the haunt. And hats off to Harry and the amazing job he did. And Jim, whatever you told these actors to do, because you were responsible for training them this year, hats off.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I mean, I trained the veteran. I did a refresher course for the veterans during the summer, and here in September, I was working with all the new actors. But thank you, Jerry. That means a lot to me, and apparently they must have impressed you all the way across the board.
We had a great time. I don't remember the name of the girl outside of the she was the receptionist, I guess you could call it, that was, you know, telling us what, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And, you know, when we were standing in the queue line, and she had the sketchy nervous tick down to a point where I was almost uncomfortable. You know, they did a great – the Asylum was awesome. The 3D Clown Haunt, they did an amazing job on. Jim and I got an opportunity to walk through that back in July 4th weekend. We got a chance to do a walkthrough of that, and to see it in full action was great. And they told me that Kelly told me they were short on staff that night. I couldn't tell. The escape rooms, we did two of the three escape rooms, two of the four escape rooms, excuse me. And we had, that was a lot of fun. The escape room, I mean, the 3-minute escape rooms, and they keep you on your toes. And it was actually my daughter who figured out the answers to one of them. And I'm not going to say what it was, but it definitely.
I was going to ask, which two did you do?
We did the toxic room,
Lincoln Laboratories.
Thank you. And then the 13 graves or
13 coffin maze.
Thank you.
Yes.
We did that one. And that was one that we missed the, we didn't finish the Lincoln Laboratories by literally the bell went off when we found the last clue. But when we did the other one, my daughter was the one that actually figured out the last clue, and when we were speaking to them afterwards, they said that half the people didn't figure out that last clue. So, hats off to my daughter. That was her first time ever going to any haunted houses in Ohio. So, and it scared the crap out of her. So that was even prouder moment for being a dad.
Well, what about you, Storm, you and Drew? I mean,
yes, Storm. This was the first year you weren't working Trails to Terror in a number of years, wasn't it?
Correct. It's been about 10 years since I don't think I've actually had any season completely off in my haunt career. But no, it's been 10 years, and it's actually a little refreshing. You know, it's time for a change, and it worked out good. I was waking up Sunday mornings not completely exhausted, and I'll have to say, for timing-wise, for a year not to do acting and to be out there every night, this was probably the right one for New England because we had a lot of rainouts this season. A lot of outdoor haunts and even indoor haunts were affected by the rain. But, no, I got out to a couple of haunts and stuff. Again, it's a... With the rain, it puts a kibosh on some of the weekends you could do it, just staying busy and expense and stuff. But we actually planned a trip, went up to New Hampshire, and I was in the Laconia area. I missed Chris Kahlstrom by hours, apparently, and I was hoping to get down to Laconia Jack-O-Lantern Festival, which looked awesome. But when we got there, it had been a long road trip. It got really cold, and it was just raining and constant winds, so we didn't venture down the mountain and through the dark roads and figure it out for the first time. And I was hoping it was more than one night, but it wasn't. But again, I don't know how great it would have been with the wind and stuff. I don't know if they could have done, you know, the multi-story platforms and stuff. We did go down Laconia and see a couple of the jack-o'-lanterns and stuff that were still out, but it didn't look like they really did a huge thing or if they took it down early. But that weekend, we also popped down to the Haunted Overload. And, Badger, we got to go through that at Legendary Haunt Tour a few years ago. And they added to it. They built more structures, redid some of the structures. The circus was really neat. You began and ended in it. They built a Victorian mansion out in the woods. The layering there of these incredible facades and these 40-foot things are just amazing. You know, the big, good crowd, but, you know, walk through it about 40 minutes and very enjoyable. I happen to run into a group of haunters that I know, and anybody who goes to, like, Midwest Haunters to the East Coast Haunt Gathering would be familiar with them. Hell, anyone who knows Ghouli Manor and Vic, because we're sitting at a barbecue place down the road, and Allison looks at her Facebook and goes, Vic's at Haunted Overload. And so we got in touch with him. We met up in line. We all waited for Dave. And had a great time going through. That was a lot of fun. You know, it's, if you're not haunting and doing stuff, try and work out some tours and figure out stuff. You know, we made a little long weekend out of it. It was fantastic. Locally, I got out to a little hayride volunteer operation at a farm here in Rhode Island. They did some neat stuff. You know, it's a... Some of the things, you know, using, like, you know, the Freddy Krueger and the Jason and stuff, you know, that you'll see at some of these newer haunts, less than 3 years old, still getting their feet wet, volunteer, figuring things out. One of the neat innovations at this haunt was fog machines on the trailers themselves for the hayride. That was pretty cool, and it actually had a pretty neat effect. It lined up one of the scenes we got to. The fog came up, and you really, it obscured you from being able to see the actors creep up on the hayride itself. So that is a really good use of that. But a lot of fun. Again, it's always great to see any farm get to it. Would have liked to get out to some more. And then, you know, just going out learning. We have, in Rhode Island, the zoo does a massive jack-o'-lantern spectacular, to a point where it only does time ticketing on weekends, and it is, you know, a little pricey, but worth it to see it at least once. They change it up a little bit each year, but it is fantastic. But, you know, it gets to be a lot, especially with a family. So one of the farms down the street from where I live was actually going to do a jack-o'-lantern walk for about $5, and they announced it, and they were going to do it the weekend before Halloween. They had 17,000 people interested on the event on Facebook, and 2,500 say they're going. The police shut down the roads. There was gridlock going down to the farm. So, you know, plus and minus on that thing. If you're ever having an event and you think, well, first of all, it shows a price point because they're going to charge $5. So you had groups of people who, you know, we can actually go and have a family night with something Halloween and fun and do that and have a celebration. So keep that in mind for some of these things. You know, you always want to do big and huge and stuff, but you can scale down and have events which will bring in large crowds. And be prepared for that kind of stuff. Work with your local police. Work with your authorities so that they plan for it. Because if they got to send guys out last minute, they don't know what's going on. They'll just close roads, direct people away from your event, and then you get a hefty bill afterwards. If there's foreplanning, you let them know, and they decide, yeah, we're going to need this, have guys on call, that type of thing. Even a plan in place will help. I know, you know, it's like, oh, are we inviting the cost in? It's going to save you if you do things right and do it popularity and build it up. Again, this one, very organic marketing. They didn't have big advertisements or billboards or TV commercials or anything. It's just advertising Jack-O-Lantern Walk, $5 at our farm, and, you know, get it out there and early from the summer on. So we were hoping to go to that, but we would have had to walk there. It's about a mile down the road, so that would have been a hike back and forth with it. So we actually popped the other way, and we're looking to see some of the local home haunters. And we remembered that another farm a mile away from us had a corn maze. I haven't done one since I was a little kid, a little tiny Stormy. I've never tiny Stormy. And Allison never done one before. So luckily we had a flashlight with us because we're hoping to get to the jack-o'-lantern thing. But yeah, awesome. $8, hayride out there, get into a really awesome corn maze. I don't know how many acres, but it's a big long one. We're in there for a good 40 minutes or so, and we're you went around, you punched, they had the different punch holes, and you filled out your card, and if you found each station, you had a chance each week to win a big pumpkin. We found all the stations, but didn't do the we didn't win. But you know, Allison was on a mission. We're out in the corn, don't know where we are, no sense of direction, just picking ways to go, and our goal was to beat these little kids. Make sure we got all the stations and got out of there first. And we did. Yay. Screw you, little kids. But that was a lot of fun. a lot of fun. And then, you know, the new Halloween tradition at the Stormy household, get home from work, murder some pumpkins, throw them out on the lawn, hang them from trees, get stuff going on the lawn, and throw on a costume, run down to Chipotle for your $3 burrito, get back, eat burritos, and throw candies at the neighborhood kids. So that's a lot of fun. And it's also neat, too, as we're coming back and forth, you see some of the houses in the neighborhood which are starting to go all out, and you're like, oh, these are cool people down the street. Unfortunately, it got really cold as soon as it got dark, so there weren't as many trick-or-treaters coming around later at night, but still a fun night.
Yeah, we hit up some of the local haunts out here on Halloween night. We actually went down to the Freakling Brothers, Gates of Hell, Castle Vampire, and the Covenant of 13. And I've done the Castle Vampire, which is your traditional haunted house, vampire haunted house, and I've done the Gates of Hell, their extreme haunted house where you have to sign a waiver, which I saw five people come out before we ever went in, and they literally had just walked in before us, coming out yelling the safety word. We went through that with one of my coworkers and a couple of her friends, and we did the Covenant of 13, and they did something I have never seen in any haunted attraction. Now, for those that aren't familiar with these haunted houses, every single one of these, all the haunted houses here in Vegas are trailer haunts. There are a series of six trailers hooked up in a square. And when we went into Covenant of 13, the people outside are dressed all in black with the big black cone hats where you can't see their faces. They're all dressed in black on stilts. We go in and we've got this lady telling us, you know, don't do this, don't do that. There's five of us sitting there. And she did this incantation. The lights came back on, and one of the people in our group was gone. Ooh. They literally flipped the wall around and yanked him out of his chair and stuck him in a box. And we didn't hear a thing. I have never seen anything like that before. This attraction was awesome. And Dawn's actually sitting here in the room, and she's nodding her head vigorously, going, yeah, this was really cool. One of the best I've seen as far as the theme and design. We had goo all over us in one area. We actually had to crawl on our hands and knees through one area in this haunt. And you hear the sound of this guy retching, and globs of crap are dropping on your head and on your back. And it was just gelatin. You know, it was nothing, nothing else. But it was awesome. So, you know, and like you, Storm, you were talking about pumpkin patches and stuff like that. We actually, one of the reasons why I haven't been on the show a lot lately is because of working with a band. I've been literally out of town doing gigs every weekend for almost 2 months straight. So to the host and to everybody else, I apologize for being MIA for so long. We actually stopped at a pumpkin at farm stand thing, farmer's market thing, in Lake Elsinore, coming down from LA, and we went through a pumpkin patch, and it was, you know, this old, you know, Halloween market feel, and you know, it totally, seriously, reminded me of some of the stuff that you've mentioned to me before, Storm. So, you know, now getting a taste of, I guess, rural life. I don't know if that's the right name for it. You know, it's making the expectations for next year to, you know, corn mazes and stuff like that, which is something I've never experienced. And, you know,
an actual fall. Are right. You sure it was a pumpkin patch and they didn't, like, you know, have a bunch of cactuses that they shaved off the burrs and painted
this was
orange?
This was in California. This was by Lake Elsinore in California. So, yes. This
okay.
was an actual pumpkin patch. So, it was actually pretty cool.
Well, I just want to take a quick moment to remind you, you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show. We're talking, what did the host do for Halloween? And we'll be right back.
You know how it is. You're alone. There's the internet. You start clicking. You're looking for something necrotic. Some things, you see, your grandmother wouldn't call necrotic. Click on some other sites. Whoa, that is just way, way too necrotic. But then you find Necrotic Creations. Necrotic. You may not know what necrotic means, but you know it when you see it. Get necrotic. Necrotic Creations. Shop anytime at necroticcreations.com.
And we're back talking Halloween 2016. How was your season? The co-hosts sure seemed to have a lot of fun. I know I did. You know, we've heard and seen what Jim and Jerry and Storm have done. I got to go to a few haunts this year, mostly in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Delaware. Had a good season with my company, taught a lot of people all the fine arts and stuff about scaring, but the one thing that I really, really am super proud of this Halloween was one Sunday, about mid-season, I took my two daughters, ages 15 and 12, to work at their very first haunted house. I got a friend of mine that's got a haunt in Gastonia, North Carolina, called Zombie Hollow. It's an outdoor trail, and one of the things I had done over Labor Day was I had a workshop where I invited all the local haunts to come in and do an actor's workshop. I had five haunts from two different states representing, and he and some of his crew were there from Zombie Hollow, and my daughters were with me, and they were like, you know, do you think maybe one of these folks will let us work at their haunt? And he was like, you want to come work for us? We'll put you to work one or two nights. And he looked at me, and I was like, oh, heck yeah. So we got to take my daughters, who were very skeptical when they started, and we pulled up, and it was just starting to get a little dark, and it was costume and makeup were getting done, and they got all dudeed up in their little things, and my 12-year-old, she got put behind a Pepper's ghost effect, which was really cool. She got to operate the lights behind the mirror, and my other daughter got put into a room where she was sitting on a couch and staring at a static-filled TV, And I had heard very good things from both of them, from people who were going through the haunt, because I was working the front door or the front gate to get into the trail. And so I got to go down through that trail. They didn't know I was coming through. And when the lights came on and the Pepper's ghost thing and she was right there, I was like, oh, that was spectacular. And my other daughter did a great job in the TV staticky room. So very, very proud. Both of them want to do it again next year. So I may have a couple of next generation budding haunters in the family. Boy didn't want to have anything to do with it this year. He said maybe next year. He's into basketball right now. But, you know, what do you do? But, again, my haunt buddy and I, named Elizabeth, you guys know her, we went out and hit a few haunts in North Carolina and South Carolina this year. We reviewed for NC Fright Seekers, their Fright Forum. Just off the top of my head, I think the two of us hit like 6 or 7. I think I went to about 12 or 13 overall in September and October. As usual, Netherworld was off the charts. Did a little weekend in Georgia, hit Netherworld and 13 Stories and Nightmare's Gate. I think we've all played those interviews on the show. Steve Guild, who was a designer from 100 Acre Manor, is now working at 13 Stories. He dropped the bomb that they're going to have a second location down in Georgia. So that's kind of cool. And all those, man, just, oh my God, Atlanta has got, everybody thinks, you think Atlanta, all you think of is Netherworld. But man, there are some quality haunted houses in Atlanta. And nobody really talks about them because of the whole Netherworld thing there on a national scale. But I'll tell you, if you want to take a long weekend and just go out on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday and hit all the smaller places in Atlanta, Georgia, within 20, 30 miles of Atlanta proper, there's some nice stuff down there. Got to take the kids trick-or-treating, probably for the last time with the 12-year-olds. That's probably as old as I would let them go trick-or-treating. My uncle has a home haunt just outside of Gastonia in a little place called Bessemer City, and it's hard to find on a map anyway, but he lives in at the top of a really big neighborhood, and he does a little home haunt, and this was the first time we had actually gone out there, and we put the all three of the kids in makeup, and they have to, when they come and do the trick-or-treating, they have to walk through a little lighted path, and they were out there menacing them and scaring them and just having a grand old time. And because my wife's uncle, who has this place, they don't have any kids, so they go all out for Halloween. And that includes the full-size Snickers and the full-size Kit Kats. And needless to say, they're very, very popular in that neighborhood. And there was no doubt, had to have been 300 trick-or-treaters in the span of about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Wow. That's a lot of trick-or-treaters. Readers for a place. I grew up in a big neighborhood in Raleigh. I have never seen that many trick-or-treaters ever at a house. So, I mean, there were people driving golf carts, towing trailers just filled with kids, and they'd all stop at the top of the neighborhood, and they'd all run down and visit his house, and the twins and my other daughter were just going nuts, scaring them and making them run and scream, and then they'd all get their candy and go on to the next place. But man, that's a fun Halloween right there. His whole basement was decorated pumpkins and crows and witches and ghosts and all sorts of cool stuff. I mean, it's kind of a, it's not necessarily scary stuff, but it's very Holmes funny. I guess it's the kind of stuff you'd see in a magazine or something like that. But it was a lot of fun. You know, it was great seeing Jim and Jerry at Scarefest in Lexington this year. Great to have Jerry come and join us for that. I'm glad the timing worked out all for that.
Ironically.
So that was fun. Got to introduce you to Cracker Barrel, of all things.
We actually have two Cracker Barrels here in Vegas now. One of them actually is up the street from where I used to live before I moved over to the other side of Vegas 5-6 months ago. So
right.
I have to go and do a recon and compare before we leave town Thanksgiving weekend.
There you go. So, any good stories? I mean, you know, Jim, I know Maul's probably got a few stories or anything cool that you saw while visiting a haunt. Anybody like wet their pants or go down in the fetal position, or, you know, I know you had one carried away in an ambulance, but anything just really sticking your mind or any of the haunts somebody, you guys visited?
There was somebody who shit themselves. Oops. Excuse me. Defecated themselves in the Castle Vampire at one of the haunts here in Vegas. And my friend David was the werewolf, and the father actually ran into him out front when he was he was splitting time between being a queue line actor and being in The Haunt, and the father basically said, "Hey, you know, do you act in any things?" And he, you know, he didn't break character. He just pointed over at the at the Castle Vampire and went back about it. And the dad says, "I'll give you $40 if you scare the crap out of my son." Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. we had a couple of Jim. We had a couple of experiences when we were at Dent.
Yeah.
You know, Jim. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah, that place is haunted. All right.
Legitimately.
Legitimately, and there were some. There were some weird things going on at Scaratorium too, which I found really damn cool. My son-in-law, on the other hand, was scared silly about it. But hey, we took two pictures as a group. One inside by seance room, and then one outside with one of the queue line actors. And the seance room, the one by the seance area, by the fortune teller, my camera's flash would never go off. And when the photo of my daughter took a photo, it kept coming out blurry. And that made no damn sense, because you're inside, it's dark. Why is the photo becoming blurry? But when we were outside, and I actually posted this up on the Big Scary Show page, there is something in between my daughter and the queue line actor. And nobody was smoking. There was no smoke anywhere. There was no wind, nothing. But there is a mist in between the two of them. And on the way home, she kept talking about her head feeling heavy, like somebody was sitting on it. Welcome to the world of haunted houses.
I can tell you, I went through one haunted house, went through Nightmare's Gate down in Douglasville, Georgia. And while we were waiting in the queue line, we just struck up a conversation with this lady and her husband and their two friends. And they go to this place every single year, and they said it was the greatest haunt. They loved it. They had a great time, but she would always get scared. I was like, okay, well, that's great. She was like, no, I really get scared when I go through here. How many years have you done this? Oh, at least 7 or 8. Okay, so anyway, we were in that group, and I'll tell you what, she would not go into different rooms. I mean, her husband literally had to push her or drag her to go into different rooms.
Wow.
I mean, it was hilarious, but it got to the point where it almost got annoying, because she would like jump on his back, and he would like have to bend down and like crawl into a tunnel or an opening in the wall, and she'd bang her head because she's hanging on him like piggyback style. And a group behind us caught up with us, and they had a little kid with them that had one of those safety flashlights. And it was kind of a strange juxtaposition, because on the one hand, you had the woman at the front of the line who was so scared of everything that she just wouldn't go. And then this kid had that little safety flashlight, and he'd turn it on and the little lights would come on, and all the actors instantly just changed from scaring the woman to, oh no, the safety flashlight, and they'd all run away and be scared of it. And it was brilliant. The acting just changed so much on a dime when they had that. And they, you know, the little kid, as we went through more and more, he got more confident. He would use the flashlight less and less. But it was just tremendous. And we were lucky that we finally got into a maze area that we were able to get in front of the scared woman and just went through the maze at our own pace. And we were sitting talking to the owner after we got out of the last room, and maybe 5 minutes later she came through. And there was a huge crowd that came out behind her because she had been holding up the line so long. It was tremendous. And then she was like, I just can't wait to go back again. Like, ugh. I'm sure the 30 or 40 people behind you probably wish you would maybe be the last group of the night or something. But that was a lot of fun to watch. So That's probably the most memorable story I have this year, other than going through Netherworld with a group of maybe 5 or 6 14 to 17 year olds, and it was a constant scream behind us the entire upper chamber this year. And that's a 30 minute walkthrough with constant every single one of them just constantly screaming. I was dying.
That was how it went with my friends.
Oh, it was great. Almost got to the, oh my God, can you tone it down a bit? But, you know, again, 5 feet later, something would jump out. And of course, as soon as they left, the chainsaw guy at the end, they were all laughing. They were like, all right, let's go to the other one. So, you know, a lot of fun there. How about you, Storm? Anything really exceptional story-wise that you took note of this year?
I don't know if really exceptional and story-wise. It's a good little change and, you know, refresh and get things ready for the next part of my haunt career and things going with that. It's just fun and, you know, coming up with a couple new ideas for the yard, carving out the foam pumpkins for the lights and stuff in it. You know, the practical uses from past few years. You know, I had a LED night light in one of the pumpkins, and it's just too damn bright, so I had to get a lower voltage bulb, and I actually put the LED in a taller pumpkin that I opened up more and things like that. Played around with Facebook, you know, the live, which was a lot of fun and some neat stuff. Jerry did that on Halloween night. That was really neat to see, especially us on the East Coast. You know, here we are winding down Halloween night, and here's Jerry outside of the haunts in Vegas, people just geared up, having fun, haunted bacon trucks. You know, that was pretty neat to see.
That bacon truck rocked.
Yeah. It looked it. But
everything
you know,
on that thing was bacon.
You know, that's a fun way to share in when you're doing these types of things and encourage people to do more and stuff. You know, everybody complains about being on the phones and stuff, but, you know, it's because of Facebook. I ran into pretty much the whole group from Ghoulie Manor and East Coast Haunt gathering. It is pretty cool. So, you know, just earn that, enjoying the fall in New England and, you know, doing stuff on the nights where it wasn't raining.
It was cool showing the video. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you said earlier that you had hung pumpkins from trees. I'd never heard of that before. Is that a New England thing, or is that something that you just decided to do on the spur of the moment?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. You know, having gone to, like, the pumpkin festival at the zoo and stuff, you know, they'd put jack-o'-lanterns in trees, that type of thing. So the past few years, I've been getting the El Cheapo carve-your-own foam pumpkins from Dollar Tree, and throwing in a solar light and carving out the faces, and I got this one neat tree in the yard that I'll just keep adding, you know, pumpkins to. And, you know, they'll charge up during the day, and then they'll, you know, light up for a few hours. But at Spirit, you know, in the clearance the past couple of years, I found these kits, and it's pretty much just a wire hookup and a little washer ring, and you lace it through your jack-o'-lantern and you hang it from a branch or from, you know, like a pot hook or a shepherd's hook or something, so you can have the pumpkin hanging. And I literally have mine hanging from the pine tree by the street, and I put a little LED candle in it that, you know, stays lit forever on a couple of AAA batteries. And, you know, your real jack-o'-lantern hanging there. I had to add a little base to it just so that when the pumpkin started going soft, it wasn't going, you know, slip through and be a whole mess before I needed to take it down and turn it into compost. But, you know, little fun things like that, and just keep adding each year to the stuff I did. They had a neat little projection thing which rotates and had trees and skeletons and graveyards, and I found that Home Cheapo for like $10. Wasn't exactly sure what to do. I ended up putting it in a window downstairs, and we have some white curtains behind it. And the projection of it behind it and rotating actually looked cooler. Next year I'm going to build a little box and actually block the front so that you just see the projection on the curtains behind it. So little fun things like that. It's you know, getting what you learn, what you see other people do, and having fun with it. And then seeing what other people down the street do. There's one people down the street, they have the foam jack-o'-lanterns to keep adding each year on their steps. Halloween night, they had the big light-up, like, zombie faces and stuff in the windows above. They had the silk fake flaming cauldrons hanging from the porch. It's just real fun to see that and people getting into it. You know, Halloween, it's the last holiday that is about you. You can be a little selfish for it. Every other holiday is about family, friends, other people, rightfully so. But Halloween, you want the best yard. You want to get the best candy. You want to give out the best candy. You want the best costume, best thing. It's good to be a little selfish for Halloween.
Can't complain about that. Jim, any quick memorable stories that didn't involve mall while you were out this year?
Well, unfortunately, I spent a lot of time in one place this year. However, I will say that Daryl Smith at Stillwell Manor, which is literally right across the street from where I stay when we're in Anderson, really accommodating. 3 out of the 4 weeks that I was over there, people wanted to see his haunt, and every Saturday afternoon he was there and let me take whomever I brought with me through the haunt. It included, you know, some of my team members, my new team members from Three Girls in the Dark. And as a matter of fact, Three Girls in the Dark are a paranormal team. And a couple of things might have happened while we were there that gave them pause. And they were both looking at me going, why didn't we bring all our equipment? But, you know, I got to say hats off to Daryl for being so accommodating. And, yeah, that's one of the things that really stood out for me this year.
Last year I was over at Stillwell Manor with Daryl, and he told me the story that, you know, and he has a haunted movie. He has a movie theater that he's turned into a haunt, for those that don't know. It's
right.
Fantastic. And he said that his crew was finishing up for the night. And, you know, he had told them the stories about somebody, and there's a body here, and there's a spirit here or something. You know, people were just kind of goofing around, and one of the new employees, right as he was ready to walk out the door, said, "Good night, ghost!" And everybody heard something inside say, "Night."
That doesn't surprise me.
And they closed the door, and they left immediately. I'll tell you what, that's one of the few, even doing the lights on tours, that's one of the few haunts that I've walked through that has actually truly given me a creeped out, given me a case of the willies while walking through it in certain spots. And I can't tell you why, but who can say? That's just that's a quality place. I love Daryl's stuff, and hope to get back up there at some point. So folks, as we wind down here the 2016 season, in a nutshell, good season, great season, okay season compared to others. What do you guys think? I mean, there was a lot of stories. There was the clowns in the woods. There were a lot of people complaining about, you know, people hanging from their yard decorations. There was a lot of, Storm had mentioned war on Halloween or not a war on Halloween, but there was a lot of people that sure seemed to take offense and complain a lot more about Halloween this year. And anybody have any thoughts on any of that?
I don't really get the whole...
I single-handedly stopped the Sasquatch Circus. You throw me out in a cornfield, and then all the clowns disappeared.
You did live video that you were lost in the cornfield.
Yeah, I was getting all the creepy clowns.
Still not out.
Yeah, I don't understand this whole thing with the clowns. At first, I thought it might have something to do as a tie-in, maybe, to the what was it, the It remake,
right?
I mean, you know, that was my first thought, but now, I mean, I just think it's just, I mean, a bunch of bandwagon jumpers. But I will say this, you know, it definitely started getting out of control, especially when, you know, these, you know, guy got shot. I think once that one clown got shot, I think it was out in the Midwest.
Didn't happen.
Suddenly stopped.
Didn't happen. That was a fake article, Jerry.
Well, it apparently shut everybody up.
Well, there's a bit more after it and stuff. Is when becoming panicky in the high schools is amazing, the reaction in the high schools. And then, you know, of course, you always have your stupid, you know, teenagers and stuff. Oh, we can, you know, say something on Twitter and get the day off for school until you get arrested and you're talking to cops and stuff. And I think that had a big part playing into it and going, hey, we've gone from Halloween fun and just idiots taking things too far to actually being a threat on society and stuff. I mean, you know, how many people had schools addressing safety and threats by social media involving clowns and stuff? And it could be anything. I mean, honestly, one thing, you know, driving around and stuff, it's someone being where they're not supposed to be. The clowns are creepy because there's not supposed to be a clown anywhere like that, you know, other than the circus. But, you know, driving one day in the middle of the day, there was someone standing in that little island where you turn off and exit from a road or onto a highway, and they're just standing there. And it was very unnerving. They weren't dressed up, didn't look weird or anything, but just it was a person being someplace they're not supposed to be, and that unnerves us.
That's kind of the whole preface of Halloween and haunted houses, though. You don't expect to see a chainsaw welding clown jump out from someplace, but yeah, you know, that's a valid point there. One last question that I have for you guys, Walking Dead, new season, what do you think?
Dude,
I've only watched one episode so far.
Don't spoil it
of this
for the
season.
Rest.
Of this season,
yeah. I'm a complete season behind.
Uh-oh. All I will say is, you know, and Dawn has never. She watched like two episodes of season one and just doesn't really get it. I sat there watching it with my mouth hanging open the first episode, just going, "What the hell am I watching? Oh my God, no!" You know, I mean, it was. If this is a precursor of what to expect for the season, it's going to be brutal.
And as I think I mentioned to you guys earlier today, I just got media credentials for the Walker Stalker Con coming to Charlotte in December. So hopefully I'll be able to get down there and talk to some of the people involved and get their thoughts on it. You know, we have Seth Gillum on the current show and things like that. So, you know, it should be interesting to see where that takes us. You know, still the most watched show on cable. So, anything else you guys want to add before we nail the final nail into the coffin of 2016 season?
Take notes now. Take the, you know, what worked, right. What didn't work for this season. Write it down now, because you're not going to remember in the summer. You're not going to remember next October. You know, all this good stuff that's sworn around. Take some notes, take a break, enjoy friends and family for Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, everything that comes up, Happy New Year, and then get back to work.
Nice. Any plans for 2017 conventions-wise? Everybody hoping to hit the Midwest this year?
Well, considering I'll be 20 minutes from Columbus, yeah.
I'm not going.
Oh, you're going to skip this time? You're going to skip this time?
He's going to have his own booth for Mall this year. It was so popular this past year. You're probably going to have to.
There all we right. go. Well, we'll have a big scary show, us and Mall, side by side.
Yeah, we'll get some double booth space, hopefully. We'll talk to Jen and pool our resources together about that. What about Transworld? Any of you guys thinking of going to that or any of the other big cons?
No, I definitely won't be able to make Transworld. Hope to make Midwest this year. It really will depend how much money Uncle Sam would like to give back to me. That's actually my money. And but also other things and stuff going on. I mean, there might be a milestone birthday coming up for Storm in the month of June.
We won't talk about that just yet, but that's cool. Well, folks, it looks like 2016's Halloween season was successful for the hosts. I mean, I had a great time. Looks like everybody else did, too. We sure hope you guys did as well. So I want to thank each and every one of you guys for supporting the show, listening to us kind of ramble on about our stories and everything.
And, of course, a big thank you to our co-hosts, who we couldn't do this without you, including Storm.
Spooky Red Nougat.
Meet Hook the Unknown.
Well, okay, you blew what I was going to say, so I'll just go with Rar.
Sorry about that. The Haunstrumentalist, Jerry Vane.
Who will be actually doing roundtables in the same time zone as everybody else.
Yeah, I thought of that. I'm like, this means we're going to be in the same freaking time zone.
Yeah, we're going to be doing, yeah, in about 3-4 weeks, we'll be doing roundtables in the exact same time zone. And
very nice.
You'll be seeing, me.
There we go. My name is Drew Badger, saying that I can see in 5 to 10 years everybody making a trip to New England, to Warwick, to see the Pumpkin Tree Man. This is the Roundtable of Terror here on The Big Scary Show.
Everybody doesn't believe me. I say I'll get hundreds of pumpkins in that tree. They don't believe me. Why don't they believe me?
Are you afraid this haunt season? Afraid of long lines of dissatisfied customers just at your ticket booth? Afraid of all the processing fees and hassle with credit cards? Are you afraid to make that jump into online ticketing? Well, take the leap. Ticket Leap. Ticket Leap will give you online options for your customer. Beautiful event pages to give every single ticketing option you have now and loads of possibility. Smart tools to spread the word, engage with your customers, and connect to social media with great, simple payment processing and the friendly customer support to go with it. Do things you haven't dreamed of. Hey, what's a selfie ticket? Check out TicketLeap.com. They're going to show you what to do. And no haunt's too big or too small for them to process. You're going to have a beautiful event page, even if you have a home haunt. Hey, they have options for free events that you may have. And what better way to collect donations for a community? Tickets under $5. The fee's only 25 cents. Find out what TicketLeap has to offer to you. TicketLeap.com.
Hello everyone, Drew Badger here. We're live on the road in the upstate of South Carolina, checking out all the cool haunts. We're at the Fear Farm in Blacksburg. Got Josh here, one of the managers running, keeping things in order, and very, very scary. Josh, we just went through the little circus thing, just went through the big building, the barn and all that. It was top-notch this year.
Well, thank you very much. We try really hard to give everybody a good, decent show.
And with two shows going on for one price, you really can't beat that. It's been a lot of fun. What's new this year from last year? How much of it do you change around every year?
We added a second attraction to Clown Town this year. Mm-hmm. And then we actually flipped the entire haunted house that you went through, the second attraction.
Oh, okay.
We flipped it from front to back. And we added two big new rooms in there to try to take up some time to give y'all some more things to look at.
Well, we spent a long time in there, and there's a lot of darkness and a lot of fog and a lot of really good strobe and lighting effects and chainsaws, so we can hear off in the distance here. How's the season been for you guys?
It's been going really well. You know, we kind of start out slow like normal people do.
Hurricane kind of hit at the top of the season, too.
Yeah,
so.
The weather kind of hurt us that couple of days. But all in all, we've had really good groups and really good people.
How I have to ask, how are the actors this year?
Well, we took a very interesting acting class earlier this year. And,
oh, you did?
Yeah, so it's paid off pretty good, and
good.
We brought a lot of information back, and I believe the actors are doing pretty good this year, a lot of energy, and I'm really proud of them. They're doing really good.
Good to hear, and there goes the owner dressed as a really creepy clown and all that stuff, but we won't talk to him because he's dressed as a clown and everything. But without giving too much away, is there anything you can tease us for 2017? Any big plans in the works or anything like that?
Well, like you said, big plans. That's what we got. We got some big plans, hopefully to expand a little bit and give people a little bit more to look at.
Always fun to come out to a place like this in the upstate. It's about 60 degrees. It's clear skies. No moon tonight. It's nice and dark, and always a good time to go to a haunted house, but especially this time of year, and especially in a place like the upstate of South Carolina. For people wanting more information on the Fear Farm, social medias, websites, and all that stuff, obviously when this airs, the season will be over, but they can always keep updates for you for next year. How can they get a hold of you for more information and such?
Our website's scfearfarm.com, or you can find us on Facebook. We got Twitter accounts, so just search for the SC Fear Farm and all of it should pop up.
Excellent. scfearfarm.com for everything you want to know about the Fear Farm in beautiful Blacksburg, South Carolina. I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us here on the Big Scary Show. My name is Drew Badger, touring as always during this time of year, and we are out.
Chris Thomas, Music for Haunts, A Lonely Hell on the Big Scary Show.
Scare Actors Spotlight.
Greetings, listeners. The unknown meat hook scare actor Jim here. Well, Halloween season is finally over. As of this recording, the Legendary Haunt Tour is on its last night. Oddly enough, it's being recorded the day the show is being released. And I wanted to take a minute to send out some huge thanks to some people that have really become part of a family, and that is the entire team at Mall, including Jackie Apple, Tori Borkowski, Zach Foster, Melanie Gibson, Matt Godfrey, also known as Token, Kirby Hilliard, Shane Howard, D-Day Hughes, Nate Jennings, Emily Kirkpatrick from Three Girls in the Dark, Dan Leopold, Christy Mars from Three Girls in the Dark, Matt Madycat, Becca Minguez, Christian Ramey, Mike Reynolds, Damian Reaper, Brett Ryan, Lindsay Wagner, and Telfor Knight. You guys banded together for the best season Mall has had yet. I can't forget the behind-the-scenes people as well, including the Lady of Darkness, and to a lesser degree myself. She takes care of all the website and social media type stuff on this end. And I'd also like to take this time to thank the haunted attractions that hired Maul this season. Huge shout outs to 100 Acres Manor, Ethan and Ted. You guys have been so accommodating. Thank you so much. Backwoods Oddities, Alan, always a pleasure to have people out there, and your people really stepped up when I needed a few more people. The Springboro Haunted Hayride in Black Bog, RIP. Bill and Mark, thanks so much for giving us a second home. Sorry to see it go, but I hear rumors floating around. We'll see what happens next season. Indy Scream Park, Ben, Mark, Brad, guys, thanks again for another wonderful season. The Waverly Hills Sanatorium, Charlie and Tina, thanks for having Maul out there again for the second year in a row. Everybody argues over who's going to get to go to Waverly, and I have a hard time with that sometimes. Brett Hayes, Fear Fair. Brett, thanks for giving us a call. You let me know who you wanted. You got him. Appreciate it. Stillwell Manor. See, Daryl, I didn't forget this time. Always very accommodating. Willing to show off his haunt to anybody. Thanks a lot, Daryl. We look forward to more events in the future. I previously mentioned the three girls in the dark, Christy and Emily, as well as Gina, who unfortunately couldn't make it with us this season, but is looking forward to next season. You guys rock. And everybody else that's really supported us over the past 3 years, thank you so much. Look for bigger and better things next year, Maul 2017. More venues, more actors, more scares. And remember, listeners, if you're a scare actor who's interested in talking about what you do and how much you scare people, just drop me a line, usa@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get you on the air. Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's VonCaron, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
Frighteners, and welcome once again to the Veister's Haunted Vista. How's everyone coping with that post-Halloween depression?
Ah, shut up, will you?
Not good. Yeah, I know. It's a tough one, everyone. And now comes the day of being grateful for what we have in stuffing our faces, or getting stuffed, take your pick, followed by a day of beating the crap out of your fellow shoppers, if you're foolhardy enough to venture out that day, for more chintzy merchandise after spending the prior day being grateful for what you have.
I'm going to blow chunk.
And do not get me started on that fat, judgmental twit in the red suit. Still, The Walking Dead has returned. Do you prefer Elpo or Gainsburgers in your sandwiches? And Supergirl has come back as well. Yeah, I know, it's more sci-fi than horror, but I dig the show. Regardless of all that, this month we're looking in on the last of the great horror characters, and concluding this series with none other than the mighty King Kong himself, who is poised to make one heck of a comeback in 2017, but I am getting way ahead of things here. By way of some background information, Kong was conceived and created by American filmmaker Marion C. Cooper. He became fascinated by gorillas at the age of 6. In 1899, he was given a book from his uncle called Explorations and Adventures in Equatorial Africa. The book, written in 1861, chronicled the adventures of Paul de Chaillieu in Africa and his various encounters with the natives and wildlife there. Cooper became fascinated with the stories involving the gorilla, in particular, the author's depiction of a particular gorilla known for its extraordinary size that the natives described as invincible and the king of the African forest. When the author and some natives encountered a gorilla later in the book, he described it as a hellish dream creature that was half man and half beast. Decades later in his adult years, Cooper got involved in the motion picture industry. While filming The Four Feathers in Africa, he came into contact with a family of baboons. This gave him the idea to make a picture about gorillas. A year later, when he got to RKO, Cooper wanted to film a terror gorilla picture. As the story was being fleshed out, Cooper decided to make his gorilla giant-sized. He stated that the idea of Kong fighting warplanes on top of a building came from him seeing a plane flying over the New York Insurance Building, then the tallest building in the world. He came up with the ending before the rest of the story, as he stated, "Without any conscious effort of thought, I immediately saw in my mind's eye a giant gorilla on top of the building." Cooper was also influenced by Douglas Burden's accounts of the Komodo dragon and wanted to pit his terror gorilla against dinosaur-sized versions of these reptiles. Once the film got greenlit and it came time to design Kong, Cooper wanted him to be a nightmarish gorilla monster, as he described in a 1930 memo. "His hands and feet have the size and strength of a steam shovel. His girth is that of a steam boiler. This is a monster with the strength of 100 men. But even more terrifying is the head, a nightmare with bloodshot eyes and jagged teeth set under a thick mat of hair, a face half beast and half human." Willis O'Brien created an oil painting depicting the giant gorilla menacing a jungle heroine and hunting for Cooper. However, when it came time for O'Brien and Marcel Delgado to sculpt the animation model, Cooper decided to backpedal on the half-human look for the creature and became adamant that Kong be a gorilla. When the final model was created, one that Cooper ultimately approved of, it had the basic overall look of a gorilla but managed to retain some humanist qualities, such as a streamlined body and a removed paunch and rump. O'Brien would incorporate some characteristics and nuances of an earlier creature he had created in 1915 for the silent short The Dinosaur and The Missing Link into the general look and personality of Kong, even going as far as to refer to the creature as Kong's ancestor. When it came time to film, Cooper agreed that Kong should walk upright at times, mostly in the New York sequences, in order to appear more intimidating. Cooper was very fond of strong, hard-sounding words that started with the letter K. Some of his favorite words were Komodo, Kodiak, and Kodak. When Cooper was envisioning his giant terror gorilla idea, he wanted to capture a real gorilla from the Congo and have it fight a real Komodo dragon on Komodo Island. This scenario would eventually evolve into Kong's battle with the Tyrannosaur on Skull Island when the film was produced a few years later. Cooper's friend Douglas Burden's trip to the island of Komodo and his encounter with the Komodo dragons there was a big influence on Kong's story. Cooper was fascinated by Burden's adventures and is chronicled in his book Dragon Lizards of Komodo, where he referred to the animal as the King of the Komodo. It was this phrase that gave him the idea to name the giant ape Kong. He loved the name as it has a mystery sound to it. When Cooper got to RKO and wrote the first draft of the story, it was simply referred to as the Beast. RKO executives were unimpressed with the bland title. Someone suggested Jungle Beast as the film's new title, but Cooper was unimpressed and wanted to name the film after the main character. He stated he liked the mystery word aspect of Kong's name, and that the film should carry the name of the leading mysterious romantic savage creature of the story, such as with Dracula and Frankenstein. As it stands, the 1933 version is the ultimate in stop-motion photography, and a testament to the genius of both men. And it firmly established Kong as one of the classic characters of American fantastic and horror cinema. And could Frey Ray scream or what? Holy cow! The film was such a huge hit that a sequel, The Son of Kong, was released in the same year, and although not as popular as the original, it has its own merits and wraps up the storylines of Carl Denham and Darrow and Skull Island quite nicely. I'm very fond of the film. Kong's son is a cute little limp. RKO tried again with Mighty Joe Young in 1949, and while it flopped badly, it does have a certain merit and charm. And don't even get me started on the Disney remake from 1998. Oh, that was terrible. Flash forward a bit to 1962, and Toho Pictures Limited were looking to do a Kong film of their own, and that was a big messy thing that involved RKO, which was originally going to be King Kong vs. Frankenstein, but never mind. Time and economic pressures basically eliminated the Frankenstein idea and the stop-motion ideals, and rubber suits prevailed, and we got King Kong vs. Godzilla. Toho's most popular Godzilla film, too, by the way. The bottom line with this one, it's designed to be a comedy. It's not to be taken seriously. If you watch a Japanese print, you'll see what I'm talking about. Kong stop-motion purists had equal fits over 1967's King Kong Escapes, where Kong takes on a mechanical version of himself and is trying to be subjugated by a character known as Doctor Who. Make your own decisions on that one. The British took a shot at the Kong idea with Konga in the 1950s. This featured Michael Goh as a mad scientist feeding a baby chimp growth hormone injections of some sort. And, of course, there's the usual chaos at the end of the film. It's not bad, but it's nothing spectacular. 1976 saw Dino De Laurentiis' remake featuring Jessica Lange, the Twin Towers, rest in peace, and a really, really bad monkey suit. I'm sorry, I saw this in 76 when it hit the theaters, and even then I was not impressed. Jessica Lange looked good in the film, though, didn't she? Flash forward to 1987, and you got King Kong Lives, an even worse sequel to King Kong 76 remake. Aye, 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 that was terrible. Linda Hamilton figured in this one, and this is a couple years before T2, and this is one of those I suspect she doesn't really want to talk about anymore. The infamous 1967 animated feature Mad Monster Party featured Kong towards the end of the film, though he's never really mentioned by name due to copyright restraints. They just call him It in this one, but you know who it is. Peter Jackson helmed the 2005 remake, which featured Jack Black as Denham. And I must say, of all the Kong films prior or after the original, this is probably the one that holds up the best. It's long. It's well over 2.5 hours, but it's very well done and very respectful of the original. I highly recommend it, even though it didn't make much of a splash at the box office. It holds up very, very well with touches of Jurassic Park, Godzilla, and the original film, all mixed into a very appealing mix. Well worth your time and effort. A mockumentary about Skull Island that appears on the DVD for this, originally seen on the Sci-Fi Channel at the time of its theatrical release, gives Kong's scientific name as Megaprimatus Kong and states that his species may be related to Gigantotheres, though that the genus of a giant ape is more closely related to orangutans than to gorillas. A little gobbledygook there right for you. Bringing this up to date, March 2017 sees Legendary Pictures release Skull Island, another remake, but one with a lot of potential and quite the street buzz already. It features both Samuel Jackson and John Goodman, and Kong is huge in this one. In fact, big enough to face off against another certain former reptilian opponent, which in fact is exactly what is going to happen. As Legendary owns the rights to the American Godzilla, there has been rumors of a rematch for years, but after Godzilla 2 debuts in 2019, Godzilla vs. Kong will hit theaters in summer of 2020. And let's hope they get this right, because it has a lot of potential. King Kong is one of those timeless characters that seems to transcend generation to generation, and he never seems to age or grow dull, despite some clumsy filmmaking. Why? There are a lot of reasons. Primarily, he's a romantic and sympathetic character, a victim of man's greed, and brought to a world he never knew or really wanted. And despite his violence, he had a gentle and soft side as well. In this day and age of unending violence, perhaps we could learn a thing or two from Kong, and maybe even show each other a little compassion ourselves while we're at it. And that wraps it up for my classic monster series. I want to thank Drew and Jim for indulging me in this adventure, and I hope you, the listener, gained something from it as well. You could argue that I missed a few creatures, like Nosferatu or the Fly, or a host of sci-fi related beasties, but I went after the big guns for this series. In future episodes of La Vista, I will touch upon both of the aforementioned characters at one stage or another, including things like George Pal's War of the Worlds, the giant monster craze of the 1950s, and Roger Corman and Vincent Price's collaborations on the works of Edgar Allan Poe, and much, much more. 2017 is going to be very busy on La Vista indeed. However, next time here, I'm going to be commenting on the 2016 haunting season and some of the observations and lessons my wife and I learned spending 3 years as haunt actors, and not just in one location. I haven't really commented on this subject since late 2014, early 2015, I forget exactly when, and while this is Jim's bread and butter, my wife and I have gleaned some experience and observations that may be useful, even coming from novices such as ourselves. On that note, please take a look at my Blogspot page, the Veister's Halloween Haunt Journal, loaded to the gills with info, articles, and a recent update on the Springboro Haunted Hayrides 2016 season and what the future holds for that legendary attraction. Want to get a hold of me? Write me at ericbssh@gmail.com or drop me a line on Facebook. And while I do check my email regularly, you'll get a faster response on the Evil Book of Faces from me. Sorry, voice from hell, it was there. I had to use it. So, until next time, always remember, St. Gulliam, brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots, bite Mama goodnight, and keep in mind that I hid the body, because Drew hired Negan to whack me if I ever get out of line. Ow! See everybody next time.
CreepyCollection.com, the most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com, for all your gore and more.
Verse 13. Verse 13. The Asylum speaks. The Asylum speaks. On the Big Scary on Show. Big Scary Show. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We're live on the road in Hickory, North Carolina, checking out the coolest haunt that I know of in the immediate area, Lake Hickory Haunts. Came out here last year for the first time. Had a blast. A lot of changes went on between last year and this year. Thought I better catch up on it. Got Ryan, the owner here. Ryan, how you doing, man?
Hi, Drew. I'm great. How are you, man?
Good. I've been hearing just rave reviews. The people reviewing your site on social media, the forums for Fright Seekers and some other review boards, they have been giving you 5 out of 5s across the board. What's going on? What's new this year? Why are so many people saying you're just like the best haunt in this part of the state now?
Well, I'd say they're saying it because we are, but but no, that's
modest too. No,
yeah,
go ahead.
Nope, just making jokes, having fun out here as always. But yeah, we've changed a lot and added even more. I would say 80% of our haunt this year has changed.
Really?
We've added Extinction, which is sea creatures meet alien. We've added Shipwrecked, which is voodoo and pirate. And we've added Lair of the Undead, which is zombies. Of course, we have our Junkyard Trail as normal. We've added a bus to that. And also we have the Big Top Circus. And the Nightmare Factory has been revamped. So this year we're going with a more cohesive theme. We have 6 different themes we're doing. So we've got Shipwrecked, Lair of the Undead, Junkyard, the Big Top Circus, the Midway of Mayhem, of course. That's our Midway. And then I'm pretty sure I missed a few, but there's so many, that's the problem. There's so many haunts in here that it's hard to keep up with them. But we've added a lot of length. The trail this year takes about 45 minutes to an hour to complete, unless you're running, which happens a lot. But yeah, the guests have been very happy this year with the quality of their experience. And that's always our number one goal, is to keep everybody happy and to, you know, to give them what they want.
One of the things I really liked about this haunt last year was you were the only haunt I knew of in North Carolina that encompassed a boat. And not just a replica of one. You had an actual boat that actually sailed across a body of water as part of the haunt. Did you get rid of that? Did you incorporate? You said Shipwrecked and all that. Is the boat actually still working, or have you done something different?
The boat is still there, but customers do not ride it.
Ah.
We've done something different with it. I think you'll see, Drew, when you go in, that there's some cool stuff going on the boats. It serves as more of a visual piece rather than the actual part of the attraction. We've replaced it with bigger and better stuff, trying to stay ahead of the curve, you know, always coming up with new things, trying to lead the industry in innovation. That's what we're going for. That's what Extinction is. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of that going on with an alien theme. So I thought, you know, we'll do, since we're on the water, we'll do aliens meet sea creatures, and you get a terrifying race that's trying to overcome the world by a mass genocide of humans.
Aliens just seem like such an underused thing in a haunted attraction thing. It works. There's no boundaries as far as aliens are concerned, and you know, it's a shame more haunts aren't doing that. That's really cool. You changed 80% of it this year. Any teasers for next year that you can leak out at this point? It's kind of late in the season, and if you haven't been here by now, you might not get a chance by the time this airs. But if you didn't, and you're looking forward to it for next year, anything you can tease for us for 2017?
2017, we'll be adding more detail in the scenes that we have this year. So have some ideas for some custom-built props. We'll say some water-built props as a tease, and some more things along with the water. And expect more things coming with the zombies in the 2017 year.
I love how being Lake Hickory Haunt, you have such a water theme to that. And, you know, again, not that many haunts do a major water theme like that. For people wanting to get more information, you're only about 10 or 15 minutes off I-40, you know, coming off of Asheville, Hickory, Statesville, anything like that. Not too terribly far from 77, 85, some of the other places around here in beautiful western North Carolina at this time of the year in the good old foothills. How can people get more information, directions, tickets, keep up with the progress for 2017 and everything Lake Hickory Haunts?
All the details of Lake Hickory Haunts can be found on lakehickoryhaunts.com. We also have Facebook, Lake Hickory Haunts, Twitter, Lake Hickory HNTS, Instagram, Lake Hickory Haunts. And we're always keeping our guests up to date with information because we know that they love to follow us with all that we're doing in the off season. Because you know, Drew, it never stops for us.
Never stops.
Never. So you can keep up to date with all of those social media handles, but all of it comes down to LakeHickoryHaunts.com. That's where all of the information can be found.
Nice. And as always, you know, it's great to come out here and check out a haunt like that. I can hear the screams going off in the distance, and it looks like we're going to have a good time going through here. By the way, I just want to say for the record, your people were the very first people to ever recognize me in an airport. So I've got kind of that big ego thing going, hey, you're Drew Badger, aren't you? Oh, my God, I've been recognized. So great, Ryan, talking to you here. Check out LakeHickoryHaunts.com if you're ever in Western North Carolina during the haunt season. Or at least sign up for their newsletter or something, because they post stuff all the time. Follow their social medias and all that. LakeHickoryHaunts.com. This is Drew Badger live on the road for the Big Scary Show, and we are out. Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.HauntersDigest.com today.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following sponsors. Screamline Studios, Gantom Lighting, Dark Imaginings, Von Caron Productions, Haunt Pay, Necrotic Creations, Ticket Leap, Haunter's Digest, and Creepy Collection. We would also like to thank Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, as well as the Fordga hosts, including Storm, Rants and More, HauntMinute.com, The Unknown Scare Actor, Actor Trainer and Traveling Actor Troupe. For more information, check out MaulMonsters.com. That's MaulMonsters.com. Drew Badger, Actor Trainer and Consultant. Find out more at RabbitBadger.org. And Jerry Vane, the Hauntstrumentalist, for all your heavy metal and haunt needs. JerryVane.com. And finally, you, the listener. Without you, we are nothing.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.